Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I want to say a special word of appreciation to all of those who are visiting with us. We do have several, and we are glad that you are here. And especially, I want to say a word of congratulations to all of the fathers. Happy Father's Day to all of us who would fall in that category. I have forgotten the exact number, but at Vacation Bible School, you will recall that we were told that in this congregation, we've counted up, was it like 85, 87 young people, high school age and down. And so we have a lot of young people here, and that just represents a lot of fathers here and a lot of folks who are trying to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we appreciate that. So good to have everyone here. I want to direct your thoughts this morning as we begin to this passage in Genesis chapter 5, and especially as we talk about fathers and that concept. I think this passage in Genesis 5 is one that always strikes me. Verse 1 says, "In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created." And then verse 3 says this: "When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth." Do you see the parallel there in that passage? Between God and his act of creating man, the parallel between that and then Adam or man procreating in his image, in this case naming his son Seth. There is an analogy there that God set up from the very beginning. The analogy between our heavenly father and then our earthly father. In fact, this whole concept of parenthood is one that God established from the very beginning as something that would emulate for us the relationship that we sustain with God, our creator. And particularly that is true when it comes to the father-child relationship. Yes, it's true of mothers and their relationship with their children also, but there is something particularly parallel to the relationship that God sustains with his children and the relationship of an earthly father with his children. And that analogy is something that God set up from the very beginning to be that way. And it's something that really helps us to appreciate the relationship that we have with our children, if indeed we are a father. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 talked a lot about the special relationship that we have with God and the fact that we can call upon God as our heavenly Father. Do you recall in the Lord's model prayer when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus said, "Pray in this way." And in that model prayer, he said, "Address God as Father, my Father who is," or "our Father who is in heaven." And throughout that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is constantly addressing God with the appellation, "Your heavenly Father." It's as if he wants to really emphasize that. And I think he really does. Because that was really something that was unique among the way that ancient Jews would have spoken about God. They didn't normally address God as Father. That's not to say the Old Testament didn't teach that God had a father-child relationship with his people. It certainly did. But the most common way in which the Old Testament had the people addressing their creator was with the term God or Yahweh, and not really with that much more intimate kind of designation, my Father, my heavenly Father. But Jesus was teaching his disciples, when you pray to God, it's absolutely proper, It's absolutely appropriate for you to address him as your heavenly Father. And Jesus was constantly addressing God, my Father. And that made him stand out, even in the minds of Jews of his day. There is a special relationship that God wants us to see that we have with him, something that he intended to be likened to that of the relationship of a child with his earthly father. Do you realize that it's from our father and mother that we really first come to have a knowledge of our heavenly father? In fact, the child learns of the Heavenly Father from his earthly father. And I don't just mean by that a child is taught in some way by his earthly father about God. That certainly is true. Deuteronomy 6, for instance, talks about how fathers need to be speaking about God and his ways to their children when they rise up and when they lie down and when they're on the road and all of that. So certainly it is the case that children are intended by God to learn about him from their earthly father. But that's not the point I'm making right here. God designed us to enter into this world as a little infant. And as we begin to grow, there are certain concepts about God that we first learn, in fact, are first illustrated to us by our earthly father. A child first learns about the love that comes from their heavenly father by learning about the love that they receive from their earthly father. That's where that first concept, that analogy, is first taught. And that's how a child comes to understand what it even means to have a heavenly father who loves me. It's because that child learns that from their earthly father. That's how God set it up. That's how God arranged it. Or a child first learns about the idea of God being a source of protection because they view their earthly father as the one who protects us. And God provides for us. And a child first learns about that whole concept of parental provision by their own father who provides and gives them the things that they need as a child growing up. And that's how God designed all of that. A child first learns what it means to have to obey someone in a position of authority. From their earthly father, and that relationship where the child has to be obedient to that parent. And that then ultimately is intended by God to be transferred in our minds to our need to obey our heavenly father. That's how God designed all of that. A child first learns about discipline from their earthly father. And so all of these concepts and what it means for God to be our Father, we first learn of all of that and have it illustrated to us by our earthly Father. You see why, therefore, it's so important that we as fathers make sure that we illustrate God well to our children. Now, what I'm saying this morning in this lesson, it applies to mothers. It applies to grandfathers and grandmothers. It applies to guardians of children. But especially I want us to see this concept in regard to us as an earthly father. It is so crucial that we illustrate the Heavenly Father to our children very well. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Several years ago when I was teaching at Florida College, there was a
young female student named Terry. I won't mention her last name. But she was a student whom I will never forget. She meant a lot to me as I tried to help her. She was, in many ways, just a girl that would evoke so much pity. She lived by herself on the streets of New York from the time she was 14 years of age. Can you imagine that? 14 years of age, living on the streets of New York by herself. Somehow, as she went through those years, somehow she came in contact with some people who helped her and assisted her, and ultimately she found out somehow, I don't even recall how, about Florida College, and somehow wound up as a student there at Florida College. And she was in several of my classes. I think she may even have been one of my counselees academically. And there were many, many times where she would come by my office and she would sit down with me and I would try to help her with various problems. She had just numerous self-esteem issues and emotional struggles and all sorts of things that you could tell were just the direct result of the background that she had had that was so despicable in comparison with the upbringing and the background that most young people would have. She had just been dealt a horrible hand in life. And so I was trying to encourage her and strengthen her one day, as I often did, and I tried to encourage her about what Jesus had to say about our Heavenly Father, and that we have that relationship with our Father, and He loves us as a Father. And I was saying all those kinds of things to try to boost her spirit and boost her self-esteem. And I kept talking about God as our Father who loves us. And she finally just nearly shouted out, "Stop talking to me about God as my Father." It just kind of took me back. And I said, "Why would you say that, Terry?" And she said, "When I think of a father, I don't think of somebody good." She said, "My father abused me and abused my brother. And when I think of my father, all those things that you're trying to make me think of, God loves me, and God cares for me, and God provides for me, and God will forgive me of my sins, and all those kind of things, that's not what I think of when I think of a father figure." Can you imagine anything more horrible than that? The very image that Jesus wanted to emphasize that should help us appreciate the marvelous relationship we have with God and all these lessons about God, positive lessons, encouraging things about God, our Heavenly Father, all of those things have been destroyed for that girl because of an earthly father would absolutely manifest the exact opposite of everything God really is toward His children. What damage can we do to our children? What do we rob them of in terms of their relationship with God if we're not being the kind of parent that we need to be, if we're not being the kind of father that we need to be especially? And that's why Paul emphasized, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Paul talks here about a balanced concept of parenting. And he talks about that authority position that a father especially is in. And he warns about that authority position being abused. So it ultimately becomes something that is negative for that child, where you're just provoking that child to anger without good justifiable reason. You need to bring that child up, he says, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And is the concept of the Lord that we want to present to our children, is the Lord sometimes, He just loves to make you angry, just to make you angry. He just provokes you just to make it hard on you. Is that the concept? And every parent needs to wrestle with all this and wrestle to find that balance. And those parents who ignore Paul's warning here absolutely are failing their children as parents. And so often what we can do as parents is, well, I'm just trying to show that child discipline, and I'm trying to show them authority. Yeah, but you can go to an extreme with that. And that's what Paul warns about here. And he warns about it also in Colossians 3, verse 21. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." The word there in the original is a word that really talks about robbing them of their spirit. And it's possible to do this. It's very possible to do this. Robbing that child of their spirit so they just feel like they're absolutely worthless. They can do nothing to please you. They can't have a relationship with you because they never know when what's going to happen, that something they say or do is just going to just ignite you and ignite your temper. And they're always just kind of live in that sense of, I'm worth nothing. The term in the original that is used here is a term that oftentimes was used for those who would break horses. You know, we're talking about breaking horses so that they can be ridden and all that. And if you need to know a little bit more about that, just ask me or the Chapmans. We're both experts on all that. But as I understand it, and as this Greek word would itself indicate, sometimes you can so go overboard with that you despirit that horse, just lost all the spirit. You can do that with children too. And that's what Paul warns about here. Is that the message that we want to send to our children about God? That God is so much an authority figure that he really doesn't care about us personally. It's really all about him. And that we're really worth nothing. And that if we have done things that are wrong, is the message that the Bible says that God wants us to get about him, is that if we've messed up, there's no hope. Don't even try to come to God then. Is that the message of the Bible? No, the message I get from the Bible is that God is the kind of being who, yes, is an authority figure, but when we mess up, God absolutely is there to help us. He wants to forgive us. Not just that he's willing to, maybe. No, no, no. He actively wants that relationship with us. He actively wants to forgive us. Even sending Jesus himself to provide for that. That's the message of God that the Bible is presenting. That's what the Bible means when it talks about God being our heavenly Father. That kind of Father who loves his children and cares for his children. Yes, he's an authority figure for the children's own good, not because he's on some ego trip, but because he cares about his children. That's the kind of being the Bible talks about when it speaks of God being our heavenly Father. The point is, brethren, that's the message our children should get from us when they look at us as a father. That's the analogy. That's the picture of God that they should get from us, their earthly father. And I'll tell you what, we need to learn the lesson that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Conduct yourselves in fear, he says, during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life. Watch it now. Inherited from your forefathers. What he's talking about in the context is just the Gentile nations and the sinful things that they did, and the way that they did things wrong. And he says it was something they just inherited from their fathers. They inherited it from their forefathers. In other words, there are just patterns in life that we just replicate.
And where did we get all of that? Well, we got it from the people that raised us. And so we just replicate that. And sometimes it's those negative things. Sometimes it's those bad things that even when we were a child, we knew that this was bad. We hated this and the way our parents were doing certain things. And then what do you discover when you're then a parent of your own child? It's a horrible kind of deja vu when all of a sudden you hear in your angry voice the anger of your parent. The over-the-top anger of your parent. Or you suddenly see yourself acting in exactly the wrong way that you saw your parents act. And you just repeated that cycle. That's the reason why alcoholics or children of alcoholics grow up so often to be alcoholics. And abused children so often grow up to be abusers of children. It's this pattern. And the whole idea of parenting, you know, you don't get just some instruction manual with, okay, all right, here's step by step how you do it. You don't have that. And so, what do we do as parents? What's our default? What's just kind of the first thing when we really don't know, okay, how to handle this, you know, well, what do we do? We just replicate what we were used to. Unconsciously. And so this is why it's so serious when we are not giving the attention that we need to give as parents and especially as fathers to make sure that we're raising our children properly, because the mistakes that we make, they're going to replicate. The problems that we create, they're going to carry those on. Even though sometimes they vow they're never going to make those same mistakes. How many times do those kids grow up and do the same thing with their kids? That's how strong this principle is that Peter's talking about. Things that are bad that we just inherit from our fathers. So we need to give a whole lot of attention to this, don't we? Well, maybe this is a question we need to talk about. Marty, what do I do if I messed up? Because frankly, as I think about my children, as I look at my children, I just, there's so many occasions and incidents where I absolutely just messed up. I absolutely handled it the wrong way. And sometimes it's over the years and I just see the mistakes I've made. What do we do when we mess up? First thing I want to say to you about that, don't despair. Don't despair about this. Yes, if we messed up, that's not something good. And we need to feel indicted about that, and we need to feel guilt about that. But don't despair about that. And here's the reason why. As I said from the very first of the lesson, God intended for us, for our children to learn a lot of things about Him from looking at us. We're the illustration. But there's one thing God never expected that our kids would ever see in us that would illustrate the way God is. God never expected perfection that He possesses to be something they'd see in us. God never expected. Because God knows that's not what we're able to do. We're not able to be perfect parents. Not one of us. And frankly, what parenting is all about, it's making mistakes and having to recognize that you've made those mistakes. So don't despair that you've messed up countless times. But you better be humble enough to admit it. And then change. And this is crucial. This is crucial. We have absolutely got to be willing to have the humility that says, I was wrong. And children see it
when we're not humble enough to admit that. Children see it. And we've got to be humble enough to say, I've made mistakes. And we've got to be open-minded enough to see those and not just cloud our mind and our hearts to all of that. But more importantly, we've got to then change. We've got to change. And I will tell you what. The wonderful thing about the way all this works is, even when you have failed in so many ways as a parent, even when there's so many things that you've done wrong, even when you realize that you've done things that really have ultimately been harmful to your children, harmful to them emotionally or in some other capacity, here's the thing we need to keep in mind. When your children have you come to them and you acknowledge to them, I was wrong in this. And the way I handled this, maybe it's over the years how I've handled this, and you acknowledge that to them and you say, I'm sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me for that. That humility and that willingness to change can go so far and wipe the slate clean. Maybe not totally, but boy, it can sure go a long way to wiping that slate clean and rectifying so many of the mistakes that we make. Are we humble enough to do that? Let me tell you what, we need to absolutely get rid of our minds. Any idea that says, well, I don't want to admit my mistakes to my children because I'm trying to show them an example of strength. And you can't show them that. All you're showing them is an example of arrogance and lack of willingness to repent. That's not what you need to show them. In fact, my third and final point in all of this, show your child that you recognize, even though you're their parent, you're a child of God too. You're a child of God too. And folks, ultimately, that's what we need to see as earthly fathers and mothers. We need to see that what we're trying to do here is to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that ultimately, the real bond that we have with them, the strongest bond we have with them, is not the relationship of parent-child. It's that common bond of fellow follower of God, fellow child of God. That's how we're really the closest. The relationship that I have with my earthly father right now, though he will always be dead to me, but the strongest bond that we have and the strongest commonality that we have does not stem from the fact any longer that it's father and son. It's that we are fellow children of our real father who's up there. That's really what we're trying to do as parents, is to rear our children so that they will be children of God as we are children of God. And that's the reason why when you've made mistakes as a parent, just like any mistake in any relationship where maybe you've wronged somebody else, the thing to do is to be humble enough and change. And if you need to go to them and apologize, do it. And that will go so far to wipe that slate clean and improve that relationship. And ultimately what your child is going to see is, you know what, my parent isn't perfect. My dad isn't perfect. Maybe far from it. But I tell you what, he's trying to be better. He's trying to be a child of God, and that's really what I need to be too. That's what it's all about, folks. And that's how God designed it. And so as we think about these things, don't despair. When you've made mistakes, don't despair.
But now, from this point on, make those changes. And let your kids see those changes. And talk to your kids about those changes that you're making, if that indeed is the case. If that's your need, make those changes. Talk to them about your need to make those changes. Encourage them to be children of God, just like you were trying to be, and help them to see the point that as their earthly father, really all you're trying to do in your imperfect way is to show them and point them toward their real father. And it's that real father in heaven who loves us and cares for us and is perfect in his balance of authority and love and compassion. He's the perfect one. And it's that Heavenly Father that calls us this morning to be his children. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who's not a child of God and needs to be. There's a perfect Father in heaven who's there for you with arms outstretched. If you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ, we urge you to do so this morning. If you need to make some other rectification of your life as a disciple of Jesus, we urge you to do that also. Let us help you. While together we stand and sing this song of encouragement. Won't you come?